Let me just pray. Father, we're just very grateful to you that you, more than us, desire to walk closely with us, to be involved in every aspect of our life, to reveal yourself. And so I just pray that during this time, not only will you be present, but you will teach us and you will draw us together. And I pray that we'll be able to get a hold of some practical ways to pursue the wonderful task that Paul gave testimony to, of just getting to know Jesus Christ, to understand him, to draw and become intimate with him. And we pray that to that end, we meet together in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I, like you, I'm sure, have been eager to pursue to get to know Christ. And I think I've started out with great abandonment when I was in high school or college and got into discipleship the first times of my life. Please just come in here. We're going to be in a little group, so this will be helpful if you can. Yeah, it'd be good to sit by your wife too, Bob. It's good. Yeah. That's right. Oh, yeah, right. So, as you do, you become acquainted with the basics of discipleship. You tend to really go after it. And after learning the disciplines and trying to minister, and really that is more of a primary drive. And along with that comes closeness, and you begin to draw. Hey, listen, you can. Why something wrong with those two seats? Oh, Carter and Lucy's already put their. Oh, they've put their things on. Anyhow, if you've pursued Christ and walk with Christ since perhaps the early 20s, you found yourself, moving along, wanting in the 20s to get a hold of the basics and do ministry, and in the process you do quiet time and you memorize verses and you do whatever it is that feeds your heart. And then as you continue to grow, you get to a point, and I don't know where that would be, but some years down the road, maybe in your 30s, you come to a place where you say, you know, who I am is more important than what I am doing. And it doesn't get there necessarily on your own. You usually, with great effort, you try to do something and find it didn't go anywhere. And because it didn't go anywhere, you think, did I give not enough effort? Did I not study it right? Or what did I do wrong? And you begin to understand that ministry is more what I am and what comes through to people than what I do. And when you do that, you start thinking about how can I grow deeper. And then I notice that you do, and you grow for a while. But then another thing happens, and it seems to take place, those who've been following Christ over 10 to 20 years, when they get to about the 40s, they understand as they look around, and if I'm going to finish well, a lot of who I am and how much Christ is in me, how much the Holy Spirit has a hold of me, is going to determine whether I finish well and the kind of legacy that I'll leave. There's a new desire then to go deeper. So you wonder how to do that. And I have. I've thought of it a lot. I'm engaged a great deal in helping our leaders, but helping leaders grow. But I want to keep growing myself. And so in the pursuit of that, I got into several things. One is to get off and begin to spend more time in chunks with the Lord. So I would start, for instance, on Sundays. Sometimes you don't have time, but just get up real early and spend 3 or 4 hours before we went to church. And I just noticed that it wasn't enough. It started to go deeper. And what I did during that time was very important. And sometimes I found myself, and I heard a man speak, you know how when you're pursuing that, someone says something and it just comes across. And the idea is that he said, you know, the problem in our life is not that God wants to speak to us, it's just that we're not listening. We're just not listening. And it's not that we don't want to listen, but our minds and our lives are too full. They're too busy. And I noticed that, I'm sure you have too, is where you will step back, for instance, and maybe take some hours to be alone with God. And your mind is so busy. And you've gotten physical quietness, but the mental quietness is what's really hard to get. And so I began to think of ways to quiet my spirit and move away from the busy, the mental busyness, to be quiet so I can hear from the Lord. And so I've just been pursuing that over the years, and the Lord has just really led me to a number of areas that have that's been helpful, and I'd like to share one with you especially. Let me just pass around this one here. I had it already. We won't be able to, just if you could pass, take a couple and pass them back, take a couple and pass those back. There, pass them around here. And then, could you just pass that whole stack over there to the porch group? If it gets a little hot in here, maybe, I don't know, is it warm to anybody? We have those two windows that's back there. I don't know whether Peter would, could you somehow, that looks like an old English window. Maybe you can figure it out, how to just push that open. In this, I was greatly challenged just strictly by this. Just the whole idea of the child father that Jesus himself pursued. And these are many passages. Let's just walk through those passages. It just is, has been a great... if we want to be to God and to grow the closeness in Christ, watch Christ. And so I began to look at these verses and do a lot of meditating on them. 5:17 through 20. Some of you have done... Experiencing God, this is a primary verse for Blackaby. Who would read that out? We'll have a number of it. Just read them out. Do you have it? Anne, do you have it there?
Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God." Jesus gave them this answer, "I will tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these."
Key points, what are they? What do you see there about that relationship between the Father and Son?
Jesus can't do anything except what he sees.
So he's totally dependent. Mm-hmm. What else?
It's an active thing. It's not, you know, I was born his son, and that takes care of that. But
okay.
Day by day.
Mm-hmm. So we see God the Father as a role model.
Yes.
To the Son.
Yes. God the Father is a role model. There's a total dependence. We cannot do... Jesus says, "I can't do anything without you." And the beautiful part of that is that, well, how do I know what to do? I know to do because Jesus loves me, God loves me so much that he reveals it to me. So he's constantly revealing what to do. It's in this dependent relationship. He is revealing his will, what to do. So this relationship, that kind of the closer we get, the more we understand and know. 6:38, what's that one? Bob, would you read that?
"For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me."
Yeah. Isn't that your heart? You just said, if I only could just do God's will. I just want to be here to do God's will. And that's what 6:8 tells us. 7:16, who has that? Clara, do you have that?
No.
No. Okay. Anybody there? That row? Okay. Please, Nell.
Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me."
So all my teaching, everything I share, it's from him. And this is the life. You know, I got thinking of who's the model of the full spirit, the spirit-filled person. And I began to realize it's Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate model of the Spirit-filled. Did Jesus need the Holy Spirit? He did. People say, well, he was the Son of God. Yes, he was filled by the Spirit. The Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. The Spirit spoke to him. He was always in need of the Holy Spirit, just as we are. And so we can go right down there. John 8:16. Somebody? Yes?
But if I do judge, my decisions are right, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me.
Mm-hmm. So my decisions come from God. It's just this demonstration, and it goes on all the way through here. 8:28-29. Maybe flip over to that. 8:28-29.
Jesus therefore said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me, and he has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him.
Yeah. Boy, I mean, these are reflecting what we want in our own life. Always doing what pleases him. Just driving. And so the question kept coming back as I made this study, and this was just part of these verses, wonder, how do I get there? Is it possible? And then in John 17, the last verse in that, this is the high priestly prayer of Jesus, that longing that Jesus is praying, he has experienced this oneness. And verse 26 says, I have made you known to them, and I'll continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, that I myself may be in them. That was his burden, his passion. God, if anything happens, I pray that the love relationship you and I have will also be theirs. And so this is the driving motivation behind my initially the search. When I began to see this relationship Jesus had, it just challenged me to start pursuing ways. And so I continued. Well, then I thought, well, where's the help? Well, help comes from the Lord, but the Holy Spirit is a tremendous. He is resident in us. And let's just turn to John again, John chapter 14, and we can just go through the many passages there. The promise of the Holy Spirit, verse 15 and 16, it says, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because that it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So the Holy Spirit is resident in us. And then the rest of those, you can just leaf through the Bible there, same in 14:26, these next two chapters. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. Did Jesus teach us all things when he was here? No. And so if we want to learn all things, the Holy Spirit will teach us. He's the teacher. He will remind you of everything, I said. And so as we pray, as we think, he will remind us of everything, not just some things, but everything. Excuse me. And so it just goes on in chapter 16, picks up again, verses 7. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. Have you ever thought of that question? I remember when we had Bruce Wilkinson here teaching on the Holy Spirit. He started asking a question. Would you rather have Jesus present with you or the Holy Spirit? And everybody, almost everybody in the place said, Jesus. He says, well, let's look what Jesus would like to have. And he says, it is better that I go, better that the Holy Spirit dwell in you. And I was very, very challenged by the fact that that's a gift. One of the gifts is the Holy Spirit to us. And just the idea that if we don't unpack the gift, we'll never enjoy it fully. And so here's the Holy Spirit, fully in resident, fully here to teach us, fully here to encourage us, fully here to counsel us, to remind us of everything Jesus has said. And then he's the guide, and he continues to teach truth further down verse 13. He will speak not only what he hears, he will tell us what is yet to come. And that's not just what we're not talking about prophecies only, but if you need to know what to do, what's coming, what the Spirit of God will speak to you. So my question was, what's the vehicle of him doing that? How do I connect with him so that I can do that? And these are very motivating, but it almost seems far beyond us. But God has equipped us in every way to do this by the residence of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, of course, as you go on to 2 Corinthians 3:18, talks about that we are changed into the likeness of Christ. So he's working at changing us. Can you change yourself? Not at all. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And you just can't ever do that. And it's the more the Holy Spirit we can't have more of him. He has to have more of us, in a sense. So how do we do that? And so this has been a real challenge for me. And so about three and a half years ago, in reading some of the older Puritan writers about this, got into the idea of the union life and a lot of terminology that I wasn't sure about, and we looked at that. But they referred several times to the Desert Fathers. And the Desert Fathers were those in the 300, 400s who would go down in the northern part of Africa into the deserts, and they go off, and they would be there to just draw close to God. And some would be out there for many years, but they'd have these young disciples come out and stay with them several weeks, several months, and they would teach them. It was in the writings, as I was beginning to read that, I bumped into this called Lectio Divina. Have you ever heard that? Lectio Divina. What does it mean? Latin for divine reading. It's simply prayerfully reading the scriptures. And I thought, well, this is interesting. Well, I found out that it was developed a little bit earlier than Benedictine, but Benedict. Benedict was in about the 500s, 600s, 5th and 6th century, and he took a hold of it because the monastic movement was just falling apart, and he got a hold of it. It was already discovered, but he put together what's called the rule, and part of the rule included 2 or 3 hours a day of the monk's schedule. Well, it brought tremendous revival to the whole monastic movement. Later on, in about the 12th century, somebody else added a little bit to it, and today we have these 4 points of how to meditate, how to be alone with God, using the Word of God and using prayer. And so I decided, well, I might as well go to the source. And so I went up. There's a Benedictine monastery right up by Aspen, and they've actually put housing area. Separate from their monastery, but still on the same property, where people can come, and you don't have to pay anything if you can't afford it, or you pay whatever you can afford, or whatever you'd like. And they have a spiritual director there, one who gives guidance, but otherwise leave you alone and help just let you grow. Well, I told them I wanted to learn more about this, and so he gave me things to read. We talked, and I began to pursue this. And I found it to really open up new depth, a new direction, a new sense of how I can get closer to the Lord, how I can really experience His presence. And it really requires some discipline. The longer you go with it, the more disciplined you are, the more it will begin to affect us. And so what I'd like to do is share with you that, and then we can work on it, and then we'll practice it as a group, and then alone here. This is the simple stages. They're not new to any of us. The words are not new, and they're just those 4 phases. Now, I'll give you these talk to you a little bit about it, and then I'll give you a card actually that describes. A lot of what I'm going to say, but I'd rather just have you listen and not read the card while I'm talking to you, just to understand the process here. because it's a very important process for us. The first one is simply reading and listening. Reading and listening, it's an interesting thing. Back at the time when they first discovered this, reading and listening was a refined art. Now, why would that be? Back in the early, early centuries. The what?
No printing.
Yeah, no printing. No printing. How many read aloud to yourself? I mean, try to read aloud. Very few, yeah. You do, and you've been... It's amazing what happens. Now, why did they do that? Of course, they didn't have the books, and so they had developed a fine art of people reading aloud to a group, and the people would then listen. What's the difference between listening and hearing? Is there a difference in your mind? Yeah. We hear a lot, but...
Do we listen?
Yeah. We don't listen to a lot. And so because of this, you can imagine the people, if I had the only Bible in this group, I had the only Bible and the only access to this, most of you couldn't, if not anyone else, could read it. And I'm the only one. I was trained and most of the monks had it. They could read. So I'm the only one who could read it, and I'm the only one who had it. And so I just say, now, I'd like to read this to you. You can hear the words of the Lord. Would you be attentive? He really would be. And so when what's happened is we've probably lost a bit of that attentiveness to the scriptures because we read fast, we don't mouth, we don't take long enough to mouth each part. Have you ever taken speed reading courses? What do they tell you is the thing that will slow you down? If you mouth each word. And when you do that, of course, it's true, it does slow you down. But when you read it aloud, it forces you to slow down. It's just been a very interesting experience because I have worked for years. I grew up in a family, there are five boys and one girl, and I was the fifth. And we were it wasn't a reading family. Very much into athletics, so my father, he was more of an engineer, he was an engineer, and my brothers were in business, and so we all tend to be very practical. So I never read anything that was either a newspaper, a magazine, or what I was required to in school. And so to look at a book, a large book, it was just a real threat to me. But I realized in my late 20s that I couldn't keep educating myself, I couldn't keep growing, unless I learned to read and read faster. So I would come back with 100% retention. That was my engineering days. But I needed to just release myself to read fast. Well, I can read fast. It's taken three courses to go through this over the years, to force myself to break out of the engineer mode of 100% reading every word, to let it flow. Well, I've worked so hard at that, I found that I could read my Bible very quickly. And I'd roar through that, and I would just miss so much. And so what I found that it helped me is just quietly slowing down, reading aloud. And we're going to do that. And so that obviously has a requirement that you get in some place when you do this that you can read aloud and not feel self-conscious and the rest. So meditation is understood to be an act of, and during that time, of simply repeating aloud the sacred text. And so people would gather in. I remember reading stories. If a person would come to town, can you imagine this? Just like a new movie. But in those early centuries, somebody would come to town, it'd be a priest, and he had the scriptures. And it was like, the word went around. They would gather in the courtyard. And he would stand up, and without any public address system, there would be such quietness because they had to hear him, and they would lean forward, and he would simply read the scriptures. And that's what they would do. And you can imagine, it was just so exciting because this is the Word of God. It's alive. And when we read it and we begin to meditate, the Holy Spirit just causes it to come alive. And so we've lost that. And I found myself probably lost it more than you because I was interested in efficiency and moving through. And so these began to to help me a lot. Now, what you're doing is you're reading and listening in this contemplative prayer reading is you're looking for a word or a phrase that speaks to you. Not that's just interesting, not that's a good idea to study. This is nothing about study. It's a word or phrase that simply stands out for maybe no particular reason. Just simply stands out. And it and you just allow that word to just to come out, and it always does when you read slowly and listen and prayerfully enter into it. You begin to own that text a bit. Say, ooh, that word. So 2 days ago, for instance, I was in Mark 1, and I was going through there, and the whole phrase of John the Baptist saying, I am not worthy to do what? What was the part? To even untie his shoes. But the word, I am not worthy. Just as I read, now I've read that passage hundreds of times, but they just brought it out. And it was only because I was reading aloud, asking the Spirit of God to tell me, and I went through that, and it just came out. Well, then what you do is, once that's there, once you've read that, and you begin to engage a bit of dialogue in your own self. You begin to think about it. And that's what we move on to meditation. We begin to listen more. You would probably read it a second time, and you see if that word comes out. Again, just understanding a bit more. Again, the idea isn't do a Bible study or get a grasp of that whole passage. It's just allow the Lord to speak to you through His Spirit in that particular passage. The exciting thing to me is that it just comes, the word, we're anticipating it, come alive. I think someone said that in the last session, that it just comes alive. This is alive for us, spiritually alive for us. All right, any thoughts, questions on that? Reading aloud, letting it soak in as you read, and then begin to let it speak to you. The important thing is you are really approaching this as engaging in a conversation with God. And this is God speaking to you. He's speaking. So we're listening. God is speaking. He wrote it. His Spirit is there. The Spirit knows all of that passage, those passages. He put it down. And we're asking it to come alive. It's not anything mystical. It's just simply, Lord, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. So God is speaking, and we're listening. Then we take a hold of this, and we begin to meditate on it. And this is a very important step. Matter of fact, probably the most important is what to meditate on. And you take that word or the words and begin to think about it. Meditation is a very important spiritual exercise. Some of you, I know Bud is, we've talked about this many times, the old navigator hand, and you would have, what's this one, you remember? That's well, so this was the least, this was hearing, this reading, study, and memorize, okay. But you could do all those four, but if you didn't meditate, which was the fourth, on each one of those, it just didn't come alive. It just didn't come in. Now, what is the difference between meditation and reflection? What just comes to your mind? Meditation and reflection. Let's say, we heard a phrase this morning. Be ye holy as I am holy. And we could stop for a moment and just reflect on that. Now, by reflecting, I will just try to get the meaning of that. So let's just do that. Reflect on that. Be ye holy as I am holy. what thoughts immediately come to mind? Just you don't have to develop just three or four words, a sentence. What comes to your mind?
Purity.
Being holy. Okay.
Uncommonness.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Righteousness.
Any other words? See, the more we reflect on it, the more we'll understand. But meditation carries it one step further, and that's what? You look at it as how it applies to me. Now, that's the difference. So reflection is gain more understanding. Meditation adds on to it application for me. So meditation is both, you go for understanding, but also meditation draws you application to you. And you begin to let the Spirit of God to teach you with this. So this is important for us. Meditation is words ruminate, you know, that the cow chews and kind of comes up again, chews it and goes down again, just getting more out of it. The idea of savoring, to think about, to focus on, to turn it over in our minds until it becomes clear. These are all ideas of meditation. Meditation is a form of reflection, is a way of learning, but it's further. It's further. Meditation is important. Meditation is not an easy subject. Why is meditation difficult for us? Okay, takes time, huh?
Easily distracted.
And this is the poor part that makes it hard, is we're so distracted. What do you do with distractions when you're trying to focus and meditate on something?
Write them down,
get rid of them, okay. Or simply acknowledge them in prayer. Say, okay, I acknowledge the fact that I've got to get my car done and I forgot the appointment. I just release that. If you can't release it, you better just go get the time and just realize where it is. But on the way to get the time, you know, I mean, you can easily get distracted thinking about this. What do it? You know, go back over asking yourself questions. What have you found that helps you with meditation? Anne, can you share a thought? Because Anne is with me in this. We've both been pursuing this, sharing our pursuit anyhow.
Yeah. Earplugs.
Earplugs?
And white noise, like a fan or something like that. And then the distractions list. I have a stack of scratch paper, and if something comes up, I found that you can write a phrase or two even with your eyes closed without totally breaking your concentration, and that's enough to release it. I found I have to write it down or I'll just keep focusing.
Okay.
But if I just write down enough to know, okay, it's down there,
mm-hmm.
then that really helps me.
It releases it. Releases it again. Yeah, that's important. Any other tips you found? Yeah, Roland.
Combining it with music.
A little louder.
Combining your reading with music, either a song that that you already know is put to music or putting it to music yourself. Music with the written word is bearing down.
Mm.
Goes deeper.
See, now that's real wonderful, and it's using your gift. Now, you are a musician as well, and very interested in that. Uh-huh. Very good. Yes?
Well, Psalm 73:25 says, whom have I in heaven but you, and being with you, I desire nothing on earth. I think in our meditation, if our focus, we keep our focus on this wonderful person, for me, that tends to help me protect the interruptions.
Mm. Good. Barbara, you're
good. I was going to say is, for me, it's the first thing in the morning, because if I turn on the TV or do anything else, it sets up that chatter in your mind, which is awfully hard to turn off during the day. And so I try to get in there first, while my mind is still quiet. And still,
okay.
Because otherwise you've got to overcome that constant chatter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You've already begun with the busyness of your mind, and that's the hard part, isn't it? It's not finding a quiet corner for me. It's quieting my mind, and that's the hard part. Meditation is to give free rein to our imagination in order to grasp what God is saying to us in the scriptures. I was going to do this, but I thought it might be a distraction to us. But I have just recently, you've probably seen the movie Jesus, that Campus Crusade has done as a project, and it's exciting, and it's in so many languages. But there's a new one out called Matthew, and it was put together by a group in South Africa. And it's probably, I think, one of the most exciting of the Jesus movies I've seen. It's four videos. But what happens are things like, remember when Jesus healed the leper? And the leper came up and said, and he started to walk in. Well, just imagining what was going on there was important. But he starts coming, he's walking down the road, and he's you know, dirty, and you know, and his face is distorted, and all everybody goes, whoo, like that, and runs off and pushes away. And even the disciples go, ooh, and apparently he smells. They're going, oh, like that, and walk away. And they said, don't come near, don't come near. And Jesus says, like this. And he starts coming, and he comes close, and he gets there, and he said, Master, if you will, you can make me clean. And this Jesus did it the way I kind of thought he'd do. He says, you will be clean. And all of a sudden, the others are carrying around, watching this, and he takes up, and he looks, and he says, I'm clean. And he turns to Jesus. What would you do if you just got here? And he just hugs him and knocks him over. And Jesus, and he rolling in the dirt, laughing and laughing. I'm clean. I'm clean. And he's rolling over. And I thought, now that's the way it probably happened. It wasn't just, bring him closer. You'll be clean. You know, I mean, it just, it wasn't that. And so this has really helped me. I mean, I can't do my meditation just with the movie. But what it does is it just helps me stimulate my meditation, my thinking. I'll never see that passage again other than that way. And even giving the Sermon on the Mount, I thought, now he's going to give, because it's word for word. And he's walking around giving this Sermon on the Mount. And it's just so, I mean, the people are laughing on some of these things that he's saying, and he's talking and going back, and then he gets real serious, and he'll walk over and says, you know this? And it wasn't this lecture up in the front. And so it just helps us understand. And so meditation brings us its form of that, and just helps us. Well, you've done that, and that's it's basically to understand the text and understand that words, that phrase that has come out. And the result is that we're drawn closer to God's mind. And that's what we're after. We're not just making some connections with the Bible, but we're connecting with the author. That's the objective. Connect with the author. Drawn to him to experience the presence of God and the love of God. There have been times I've been overwhelmed as I've read this a passage. Like this whole thing just 2 days ago, I read on worthy, not worthy. And I just got to thinking of worthy, my unworthiness. And just to come, and it just, lots of thoughts came through. And the next thing I know, my eyes were filling with tears. I was thinking, and it led me to Psalm 51. And I moved right away to Psalm 51, and I read Psalm 51. Well, I don't know exactly how much time it took. But some 35, 40 minutes later, I was just sensing the presence of God, and he was speaking to me. Now, this has taken a long time. I couldn't go but maybe 5 or 10 minutes. Anne, how long did it take you to get to where you could go a little bit longer?
A long time.
It's just practice. It's working at it. It's learning yourself. But it's opened to whole new dimensions to understanding and knowing Christ. Okay, so then you move to the third phase, and that's just simply praying. Praying is not just simple. Praying is, we've been praying all through this process. As you start, and I'll share that, you start with praying and call the Lord upon the Lord to speak to you and to open this book and open his word and even ask that the Holy Spirit would just teach and draw close to you, and so you will pray. You begin the entire process, and then you take now what you've meditated on, and this flows, you flow from meditation right into praying. You've done that before. Most of you have taken that. When I was a young student, the fellow who followed me up and was discipling me, we would just simply open the scriptures, read a passage, he'd read one verse, and then we'd pray about it, I'd read a verse, we'd pray about it, and we just keep walking through whole Psalms. And that was given to me as a real gift early in my pilgrimage in following Christ, and that has just come back to bless me so often. So praying, it's praying from the heart. This is really what's important, praying from the heart, praying from what's come up. Let the Spirit and the Word of God direct your prayer. So, for instance, with my meditation on worthiness, what do you think it moved me to? It moved me to worshiping. It worshiped with praise. And then it began to lead me to intercession. A close friend, he's struggling with this whole area. And God gave me some insights as I was praying as how to pray. And it was just wonderful, because sometimes, it says in Romans 8:27, sometimes we do not know how to intercede for people, except the Holy Spirit helps us intercede. And so it's during those times. So it's not a prayer for which many guidelines are given. It is a prayer that we learn as we listen to God and open ourselves to Him. That's what's important, listening to God and open ourselves. We encounter Christ in that. Sometimes it's not comfortable to experience this. Sometimes it's really struggling. He's pointing something out of my life. Sometimes I'm just rejoicing. There are many areas here. Then the last one, of course, is this whole area of contemplation, and contemplation is an interesting. It's actually the end goal of the Lectio Divina, because it's the communication that goes on between you and God, the love between the two of you. It's just thinking. It's contemplation is resting in prayer. It's entering into the presence of God and simply waiting. Now, I don't know if you're like me, busy. If you just went to the Lord and sat down and prayed and read the Bible and prayed a little bit and then said, "Well, Lord, let me know Your presence here," it would be hard, because we're not ready yet. It's just almost like our mind and our spirit needs to really be connected with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God needs to begin directing our spirits. And again, seems almost mystical, but you begin to sense the very presence of the Lord as you pray this. So contemplation is more being than doing. And often you will find yourself, once you're contemplating, maybe some other thoughts come in. And what I do is go right back to the scriptures and start reading again and concentrating that and just begin reflecting on it and begin praying again. And then the next thing you know, we're sensing that presence as well. So it's contemplation is basically a form of relationship as well. It's not just simply something we do. In the end, contemplation is all about the awareness of what God really is. It's understanding Him. It's a state of being, not a state of doing. We're such doing people. At least I am. Now, what we're going to do is we're just going to try to do a bit of this ourselves. And we're going to have to do it in just groups. Just try it. Get into a couple of the places and do Lectio as a group, in a sense. And so what I'd like to do is then, if you open your Bibles, first of all, I guess get into little groups of no more than three or four. Okay, four would be the max. Now, the focus of our time, of this time now, is going to be on the Scripture, you and the Scripture, you and the Spirit of God. But you we'll have you just share one thought, but you won't speak a lot at all. But we will share this. So And what we'll do is going to look to the Lord to do this. Now, what would help, what are the things that you've experienced before you go into the Word to just meet with Christ? What are some of the prayers that you pray for?
Speak,
what was that?
Speak to me.
Speak to me, okay.
A reminder of an old truth or some new truth about himself.
Okay, Okay, just clear our mind of distractions. We're thinking of a lot right now.
Open my heart and mind.
We'll do this quietly. But you know, to me, I've just started to do everything out loud when I'm alone like this. And but you just feel free right now. Before we just start, why don't we just take about a minute or more and just clear your mind. Lord Jesus, I would just pray that you, in the midst of all of us, we're new to each other, many of us. Lord, that your Spirit who dwells within us has promised to teach us, to comfort us, to lead us, to guide, to reveal Christ, to remind us of all the things that Jesus has said, and you do that as we need. Lord, we would ask that you would do that all. Holy Spirit, have freedom. Have wonderful freedom to speak to us. Quiet our minds, our spirits, our busyness. Take away all the thoughts that are on lots of important things, but we just yield them to you, casting all our cares, our thoughts, our projects, who we're supposed to meet. We cast it on you. Now you go ahead and pray just more on your own, preparing your heart. Now the passage we'll look at is Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30, three verses. Okay, now, those of you who would be sharing the Bible, read it. Each of you read it alone. So even if you're with someone else, just each look at it. And if you were doing this by yourself, you would read it aloud. You can read it perhaps just whispering it enough so that the reason I want to get you used to that discipline is because when we do, it forces us to read it slowly. Okay, so let's read that passage. Each of you just at your... just a very slow speed. Read it through twice, and what you're doing is listening, not looking, but listening for the word or phrase that strikes you. Just the word or phrase. You may not know why. You might not have a reason. Don't worry about that, but just what stands out. Okay? Go ahead. Now, that word or phrase that just is coming out, you don't need to know why or do a Bible study on it. Don't force yourself. Just let that word, it may be the most unexpected word, but read that word or that phrase or the little context of that word over several times, quietly, very slowly. Think about that word, that phrase. Now in your group, just turn to your members and don't give a commentary, but just say the word or phrase that that seems to have surfaced or come up in your reading. Don't have to explain it. Okay, have you ever all said that? Okay. Now that you have that, let's just quiet ourselves. We'll quiet ourselves for a moment and just utter a prayer. Lord, reveal this meaning, thoughts, whatever you want to tell me about this word or phrase. Now what you're going to do is ask the question, how is my life touched by this? and just ask a spirit in your spirit, Lord, how am I touched in this, my life? And go back and read it again and begin to meditate on this. How does this connect with my life? How does this connect with my life? Now I'd like you to turn to your group and just mention no more than two or three sentences, but tell them what connection does this word or phrase have with my life? Have you all shared? Okay. Now by this time, just keep in a point of thinking about this, but by this time what you're doing in a group is you're beginning to find some insights, and you haven't acknowledged them yet, but there's some things coming from others in your group that's beginning probably to stimulate you, to compliment, or just stir you. And this, of course, is the blessing of being in a group. But now we'd like to just go back and quietly read through the whole passage again with this, again, that keeping in mind as you get there, that single word or phrase, and ask yourself this question. Is there an invitation for me to respond? What invitation is there from the Spirit of God to respond? Okay? So read it through again quietly. You can whisper it if you want to read slow enough, and then just try to answer that question. Ask the Lord that. Invitation for me to respond. What do you want me to do with this? You're finished, just pray. Begin to pray to the Lord about this response. Meditate further, ask the Lord what He would have you do with that, and if you're not sure or want more. Ask Him if there's something even more specific, if it's fairly general. Well, now, Lord, You've spoken to each of us, and I pray that it would go deeper and clearer for us. But more than anything, I would pray that it would be a great sense that You have spoken to us, to each soul, each heart. And we commit these thoughts to You for further development in Christ's name. Amen. Now what I'd like you to do, still in the same spirit that you have, is turn and speak to each one. Just tell the people in your small group, just share very briefly what, to the degree that you feel free to. Don't feel you have to share everything, but the degree to you could just, what is the response? Because what we're going to do then is pray for each other in your group. You pray for each other. So go ahead and do that. All right. Sorry, some of you may not to get a chance to cover the enough. The Lord knows, I guess. Now, what you've just done is what's called group lectio. We could do that more, and I've taken a lot more time with people to do that. And I've just written down those four steps that you just went through here. And I'll let you just take those, and we just pass them around. Just if you want to have that, if you want to do it with people, it really draws your hearts together quickly. But the reason I did that is to give you a little bit of experience in the elements of just personal Lectio Divina. And so that, of course, is the other card, or that praying through the scriptures card that I gave you. Now, what I'd like you to do in the remaining time, so that you've tasted a little bit of it, and when you go out, I only made 20 of these, so I just noticed there's 29 of us here. So I'll give you a couple. I'll have to make some others, and those that don't get it, or here is a couple, you could just take one. But all they are is just their copy of. So when I started out doing this several years ago, I wrote down the three simplest little definitions of each of the four steps. And so I would, when I first start out, I just pull it out and I'd use it and just go right through it and help me. Now you could do that same with that card. Later I made the card, and that's very helpful as well. I'd like you to actually go from here, or you can stay here, some will stay here, and actually take time to have about a 15-20 minute personal time following through the steps. Okay? I'm going to put you on a direction. You can either choose, just as a suggestion, I mean, either John or Mark. When I started people off in this, I've given them either of those, and they seem to be a good start. I would encourage you, you can start off, and I would only read the first little section, maybe it's about, like in John, maybe the first 13 verses or so, 13, 14 verses, that's a natural break, and the same with Mark, just... But read it, not to go distance, but read it until you sense that a word or phrase has surfaced. And then as it does, go back over it, read it again, begin to meditate on it, and that meditation will slide right into prayer, and as you begin to pray over it, and then you've felt like you've prayed, well, then you just stop and you reflect. Now, I've added one thing that is begin to journal, or to write down. Now, for instance, if you were to write down, don't write down all that you studied. It's not a study. Just only what the Spirit of God spoke to you, how you responded to this. Don't write down anything else. Don't write a summary or a good thought or whatever like that. Just, and if you're used to journaling, then you'll know that. But if you just even writing down, getting a little notebook in your, a page in your notebook or a couple section, and just begin to write that down, put the date, and you begin to see the Lord just speaking to you. And it's more of a journal reflecting on what the Lord said to you rather than trying to summarize or make some notes on the passage you went through. But so as you have freedom to do that, you can do that. So either to make a choice. If you're struggling between the choices, I would suggest start with Mark so you don't get out there and spend 2 minutes wondering what to go with. If you don't have your Bible, maybe you could just swing back to your room, or go steal one from the castle bookstore down there. Yes.
When do you decide to move on further in the passage? Do you go back the next morning and review again?
No.
Just keep going.
Yeah, that was a good question. Bud just said, when do you decide to keep going? Now, there are several ways you can decide passages. What I've just suggested to you to make it easier is just go through the book of Mark or John. And what I've done is read until I begin to get that thought. It isn't the objective to get through the book. It just gives a lot of good material. Now, what I do a lot is I do passages like what I just did. I have a number of those passages I'll go back to. I have 21 Psalms that I go through that I can continue to go back through those Psalms. And you'll find those Psalms. Often I'll go to a psalm like that when I, for instance, one of them is Psalm 25. I'll just go through Psalm 25 and just spend the time in that. And it just, the Lord speaks to me. It's one on intimacy. I'll do Psalm 23. There are other specific passages like this one. There are a lot of them I revisit because, again, the objective against Bible reading and Bible study, that's one part. This is not that. This is a time for you to converse with God. So he speaks to you, you speak to him. So it's really not important how far you read. It's not important whether you go from one favorite passage to another or one particular passage that you want to go to. You can be two or three verses, like we did here, just three verses. It can be a chapter. I would stay away from long chapters. But that's why I find the Gospels particularly. Now, one of the ideas of the title of this past, of this time together here was about drawing closer to Jesus. I'll just share a personal pursuit of my own. I have really pursued getting to know Jesus. I'm one of the things I'm doing is studying about leadership, the leadership of Jesus. One of the goals of my life has come out of this is that I want to help the next generation be like Jesus and lead like Jesus. And some of the richest insights of God has just given me just for my own life and just the interaction have come through a lot of this. So I continually go through the Gospels and the Psalms. I haven't been doing much outside of those. So I've spent years now, several years in these, and it never, I come back to some of the same passages. Again, the objective is not to get through the book of Mark. It's meet the person, meet the author, and whatever will bring you in there. Now, one thing I would just say, if you did pursue this and did it about four or five times a week for the next several months, you will develop and get yourself to a place where this will become very, very natural to you. I can be driving. It takes me 15 minutes to drive to work. And often I'll have already done that, but I'll take that verse and I'll just kind of go through the same steps. I'll take another passage or just a thought and begin to meditate over it and just let the Lord speak to me even as I go. And as my wife says, I distinctly drive slower when I do that. So, you know, it's just, you know how you can, you know, when you're thinking of something like that. I've done it, you can do it with your mate as you're traveling along. Do a little group lectio. The whole objective is to draw close to the author through the author's, the Spirit of God and the Word of God. So it's a technique that helps us. It's just a technique. So, but you'll need to pursue it and need to discipline yourself. And don't be discouraged. I'm going to tap in just one more time to Ann because she's been in this pursuit. And is there been anything that's helped you to keep pursuing this as you keep going, the selections or passages or anything? Just
yeah, I have a group that meets once a week that does it together. That really helps.
Hmm. So you can share then, come back and talk about how we're doing. Not only the what you're getting out of it, but also how we're learning to do it.
How it's going.
Yeah. These men, these monks, they at the Benedictine monastery, they're working monasteries. So was really neat. I got up real early in the morning and was at their early time. So what they've done is they go off and they do Lectio Divina, and they have a prescribed passage. So they're all doing the same one, but they all go off and do it. And they spend about an hour or so. Then they come together and read the scriptures and have a group Lectio over another passage. And then they pray and they share. And it was really neat because they all put a robe on. And the robe is a very simple kind of a beige work-like robe, but just like Jesus would wear or something, and just a slit here. And you looked, I was just kind of praying like this with them, and I looked over there, and there's the guy who's in charge of the farm. And he's got these old, beat-up, dirty, muddy farm boots with jeans underneath. There's another guy who's a PhD scholar and is a writer, and he had sandals on, just sandals, and that was it. And then there was others who was part of the business, and they all came, but they all had these robes on, but they cut off just below the knees so you could see what they did. And I asked them, you know, and they have found that working through the day, that thought they capture, normally what you came up with, then they would come up with as well, and they would keep it going all day. They'd keep that thought. And so whether they're out with the, you know, the cows are back harvesting wheat or cleaning. They keep bringing it back up. And I've asked, you know, what were some of the results of their lives. And It just was wonderful, the testimonies of the change. So it wasn't, it's the time in the closet. The only way I could express it one another way is, once as you practice it and you begin to experience that, and you've experienced aspects of it. This was not new for what we were doing, all new. But it's basically you're going into the closet of prayer with God, but you're never coming out of the closet. You keep in the state of the closet as you go through the day. So you can laugh and do other things, but you're constantly saying, you bring back, pray, and there are a lot of things that you come along and you just say, Lord, there it is. Lord, take that unworthy thought. There's a person who's unworthy right there. Speak to their hearts. And so I'll just keep going through the day, and all of a sudden I just notice I've just prayed for that person. Or something will happen to me, and somebody, my secretary, came up and asked if I'd do something. And the thought, unworthy, stoop. I said, oh, sure, can I help you? And it just affects your day. So, yes, Bud.
A suggestion, if you feel like you lack desire for God, one of the things we might do is pray and ask God to increase our thirst for Him.
Mm-hmm. No, that's great. But you know, that's a passage. When I feel that, I go to Psalm 61, the first three verses. If you ever feel like you're just not hungering, you're here, but I go right to Psalm 63, and the first three verses are the ones I just meditate on.
Is that 61 or
63? Excuse me, I'm sorry, 63, yes. 63, 1 through 3. Yeah, 63, 1 through 3. That's where David was sent out on the desert, and he just cries out, I thirst for you. It's a wonderful, and just pray as the Lord leads you. Okay, so we have, we're losing more time with it. We should be at 1 o'clock in there, and it's now about 25 of. So it'd be great if you could just get 15, 20 minutes. Now, one thing I have learned, where you go and sit is important. For instance, I used to just kind of slouch down, get a cup of coffee, and have my quiet time. I find if my body's alert, my mind will be alert. So I sit up. I sit up, put my feet on the ground, and keep alert physically. And when I read, then I read out loud. And again, the reading out loud is just will let it go into your ears as well as your mind. And it also keeps the pace going slower. I just hope this helps, and I hope that you'll be blessed by this. This is what I've been praying. So, be gone with you, and go do it. We'll see you at lunch.